You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, Richard McCall, here on Columbia Calling. And we're here in Bogota, and we'll be talking to Emma Newbury and Assam Al-Kaidi about the Bogota Post, about this new, it's almost a year old, this newspaper, the Anglo newspaper, another Anglo newspaper, here in Bogota. So we'll be talking about why you would set up a newspaper in this climate. You know, everyone's cutting back, everybody's having financial problems, and anyway, so very brave of them to be out there and with this new newspaper out there. I don't like that, the alliteration there, the new newspaper. In other news, the book that we're working on, myself, Vicky Kellaway of Banana Skin Flip Flops, and Caroline Doherty of, author Caroline Doherty, De Novo, I better said, we're all working very hard to get our new book, our collection that we're editing of essays written by foreigners and Colombians about Gabo, about Gabriel Garcia Marquez, and that will be coming out for the book fair later this year. So basically about a month and a half, really, and it's called Was Gabo an Irishman? So please stay tuned for that. The most important things that I think perhaps that have happened in the last week or so in Colombia, well, of course, Colombia's Constitutional Court ruled on Wednesday last week to keep the current limits on same-sex adoption. So therefore, they said, I mean, honestly, it was actually a step forward in terms of equality, because the court said that same-sex couples could only adopt a child if it was the offspring of one of the partners. Now, previously, I don't even think that was allowed. So, I mean, 2 years ago, the Congress sort of voted kind of ambiguously against allowing gay marriages. And now, of course, there was a sort of 10-hour debate in the court on Wednesday. And yeah, well, that's where we are at the moment. And I guess this was just one of those debates that's just going to keep going, really, until it happens. And, what can you say about it? So that's about it, really. I mean, you know, if you really wanted to say, I mean, you get into it. Armando Benedetti, the senator, a very, very profound supporter of LGBTI rights, called the judges cowards. So for those of us in the press, you can always rely on him for a good soundbite. And then you've got people like the president of Colombia's Conference of Bishops, the Right Reverend Monsignor Luis Augusto Castro Quiroga. What a name, no? He said he would continue fighting, and I quote, the right of children to have a father and a mother. And then he continued, two mums don't make a dad. So, yes, this is it's a profoundly Catholic country with some very interesting and, opinionated sectors of society. And that's fine. That's fine. Debate is good. But it will continue going on. And aside from that, well, yes, that horrible, horrible massacre of four children down in the southern region of Caquetá seems to have been wrapped up and solved. I think there are a couple more people on the run, but horrible, horrible goings on down there over a piece of land that was sort of key, that the perpetrators, or as they could say here, the intellectual conspirators, the intellectual thoughts behind it. He wanted to put up a car wash and a bar, and ended up killing four children. But the piece of land is actually government owned and a national park, so it couldn't actually be owned. So yeah, you know, it's all this strange type of sort of twists. Last week I also got to meet Karen, and Karen, I won't even try and pronounce her last name, but she's part of the 4x4 adventure team who have been driving for 12 years around the world. They're now in Latin America. We met in a coffee shop. We will be doing a recording about her trip around the world and her trips to Colombia. Look for that for next week. It's a very exciting thing at all. And I do believe, as we speak, that Karen and her husband, Koen, they are Dutch, are on the road somewhere between Bogota and Puerto Carreño, so way out, heading way out east in Colombia through the Llanos and on the way to Venezuela. So very exciting. We hope to get them in to talk or to over the phone to talk about that. So Colombia Calling goes from strength to strength. I remain flattered that there are roughly 6,000 of you out there downloading this every week to hear me nattering on or nattering with other people about Colombia. Of course, always get in touch. Colombia Calling at gmail.com, ColombiaCallingRadio.com, at Colombia Calling. And, of course, through our Facebook page, Colombia Calling, as well. Very easy to find out. I'm Richard McCall. I'll be back with Emma Newberry and Asim Al-Kaidi talking about the Bogota Post. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this week, as with every week, we have very special guests on the show. I mean, incredibly pleased to invite and to welcome Emma Newberry and Asim Al-Kaidi, I'm going to get it right, Asim Al-Kaidi of the Bogota Post, one of the English-speaking newspapers here in Bogota on the show, and we're just going to talk about Colombia, what's going on, and of course their publication. So welcome, guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. Now, tell us a little bit about your backgrounds. Now, Emma, you've got a particularly interesting background. I understand how you ended up in Bogota. so come on, tell us, spill the beans. How is it? It's not for a boy.
No,
because there's lots of girls I have interviewed and it's been for a boy. All right, so.
It was partly for a boy.
Ah, there we go. The truth, yeah, well, out.
So I started out very early on in journalism. Financial journalism didn't suit me. Went to work for London's 2012 bid.
Okay.
Luckily we won. and then spent the next 8 years working as a consultant to different Olympic bid cities.
Really? So you've done other ones like, let's say, Ankara or Istanbul, was it?
Istanbul, yeah. Sochi, Tokyo, Qatar.
And Tokyo got it for 2020, right?
Not with me, though. No. I was working against them.
You were in Qatar at that time, I guess.
No, Istanbul by then.
I can't work it out.
Well, neither could I. That's why I decided to stop.
Okay. But so you became an expert on these, like, country bids?
Basically, yeah. And how to run a campaign to win bids.
Wow. But you had nothing to do with England not getting the World Cup then that time.
I stayed well away from the World Cup.
Because there's all sorts of reasons why we shouldn't get it. I mean, it's the truth. But okay.
We shouldn't have bid for it.
Yeah, yes. This is true. And given the political situation within FIFA, there's no way we're ever going to win it anyway. So that's another story. But okay, partially for a boy, it never rings. I'm going to let that ring off. You'll get to hear it in the background. Anyway, so you were at the Olympic bids. You worked for that. Then you worked for different bids all over the place. But what brought you to Colombia? Why Bogota?
So basically, I'd reached a point where I wanted to be in one place. Mm-hmm. I wanted to settle down, because it's wonderful traveling. And I think I was so lucky to be able to live in so many different countries and see so much. But I kind of got tired of missing people's birthdays and not being there for the important parts in their lives, but I also didn't want to live in England.
That I understand. Yeah. As someone who's been out of England, went back once in 5 years.
So, it's hard going back.
It reminds me why I don't want to be there, mm-hmm. in truth. And so what's your background then? Why are you here? I know you worked for good friends of the show, See Columbia Travel. That's had Sarah Duncan on, we've had Chris Bell on, we've actually had Jose Luis and Marcelo on, so now
I'm just continuing the tradition. I worked there for a short while. I arrived in Colombia probably about 3 years ago, mm-hmm. just under 3 years. And I guess it's a pretty similar story to most foreigners who end up here. I was here on holiday, I decided to stay and see what happened, and I was very lucky that everything worked out very well for me.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so now you are the travel and entertainment editor of the Bogota Post.
I am indeed, yeah.
Amongst other things,
but that's what I spend most of my time doing.
And also you have the fame of having stayed in my wife's grandmother's house in Mompos.
I do, yeah. I don't shut up about that. Yeah.
So, with all the rocking chairs placed sort of haphazardly around the house.
It is really beautiful, though. So,
There is a ghost in that house.
I didn't get haunted. No,
okay,
no.
I've been haunted in that.
Really?
And I'm not a believer. Maybe that's why. There's a smell of drains, which actually just could be the drains. But apparently, that the sulphurous smell is something about spirits.
No,
and then I've seen a light go across the room.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get that. Otherwise, I would have been straight out of there.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, ruining any further business for my grandmother-in-law.
Exactly. It's the true. Haunted house.
The haunted house. Well, all houses there have something. I shan't say what the Casa Maria has, but just to keep that out of it. Now, so we've got to know. You're here. You're located. You're both happy here in Bogota. When let's talk about the Bogota Post. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the many reasons we're here. Now I'm looking at it. You got this little big. You know, what's this? Berliner size. Like the size of the Guardian now, right? Mm-hmm. It's a Berliner size paper. Nicely laid out. Lots of colour. Kind of big gothic title there. The Bogota Post. Why did you start up in this environment? You've got Philip Mayer quoting from 2004 in his book The Vanishing Newspaper, and he predicted that the final copy of the final newspaper will appear on somebody's doorstep in 2043. Will the Bogota Post be around in 2043?
It will be the final
newspaper.
It will be the final.
But without joking aside, you set this up. How long have you been running for?
Since April.
April last year.
So we're getting on for our first birthday.
So will there be a big celebration?
Maybe.
Does the budget allow for a big celebration? Will the sponsors allow for a big celebration?
Well, we should have a party.
Yeah. Well, it will be BYOB. Bring
exactly,
your own
exactly.
But no, so why?
Of a picnic.
But Emma, you are the big boss. You are the brains, the big boss. You started this, right? This is your baby.
Well, there were three of us who started.
Okay,
it.
Sorry. Well, tell us.
So basically, I don't think newspapers are dying, or newspapers are dying, but English language newspapers in cities abroad are not necessarily dying.
Mm-hmm.
When I've been travelling, almost every country in the world that we've, mm-hmm. sorry, every city in the world we've been to, we mm-hmm. look for an English language newspaper because it tells you what's going on, it tells you what events are happening, and it gives you a different sense of the country than what you can find on the internet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we felt that there was space for one here in Bogota. For me, when we started, it was especially important to get basically the news section and the events section, because I think those are the sort of cornerstone mm-hmm. of what you want to be doing. Really we wanted to create a kind of, not a community paper, but something that was the voice of the expats here.
Yeah.
And give people somewhere that they could come together around and really feel like it was their paper. And so there were two other journalists, Stephen Bratton and Charlotte Ryan, and the three of us kind of spent not as long as we should have talking about doing it. And then suddenly we got an interview with McGuinness when he came to Bogota.
Martin McGuinness.
And
yeah. No less.
So we had an exclusive interview and it was going to go out of date, so we had to launch.
So, but this is because Stephen Grattan is from
Ireland.
Ireland. Yeah.
You'd have to ask Stephen the whole story, but he met with McGuinness's advisor, I think, in a bar and convinced him that he should give us an interview. And the Bogota Post was born. Because really, up until then, we had probably four pages of content and we were kind of talking about launching in the next couple of months.
Yeah, because I heard about it for a bit before it had come out, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd heard rumours here and there. The fact that you managed, or your guy, Stephen, managed to convince Martin McGuinness and his advisor in a bar does not sound far-fetched. it's just building on my interview of 2 weeks ago, talking with the famous Mick of Chapinero.
Yeah.
It was a beery interview. imagine. Yes, and I picked up the tab of this guy who slipped through the cracks of society and is just sort of here in this legal limbo, but doesn't want to go anywhere else. But yes, Irishman in a bar, it's kind of playing to stereotype. Fantastic. So it's going well. But you're saying you want to be the voice of the expat community, let's say. So that's your readership, or are you hoping to extend beyond that?
When we launched, it was really about having the expats as our readership.
Yeah.
We were really surprised at the number of Colombians who pick it up. I would say more than 50% of our readership are Colombian.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the backpackers and the tourists and the other people that come through. But we wanted it to be to have a core readership of people here in Colombia, because otherwise you're always kind of aiming at this transient community.
That can't be your only market, because it's fluid. Interesting. Now, so I'm looking through it here. Diary, dates, your guide to Bogota. I imagine that's you.
That's me. Yeah, that's my baby.
So you filter through the, because there are a bunch of events going on in Bogota at any one time. So you go.
Yeah. So it's just a job of really just, you know, trying to fit as much of them as possible. And I want it to be the most comprehensive listings in Bogota. So.
Yeah. This is all good. Now, do you have a letter section where people write in their gripes?
Opinion and letters.
Right.
We haven't actually had any letters yet.
Don't tell me that. Lie. You say
but
yes.
But we have comments from our website.
Okay, websites. Yeah. So the website is thebogotapost.com. And the paper, where can we pick it up? If you're here visiting in Bogota, where can it be picked up?
All over the city.
But you're going to have to.
I'll be on. The distribution, we have 370 distribution points.
Wow.
And I should be out distributing right now.
This is
but
fine.
That's
this
fine. Is Someone fine. Else is currently in Usaquén with the papers. Basically, we go Candelaria, Macarena, Chapinero, 93, Zonate, Usaquén, and Salitre. And Parkway.
Because there's a big foreign community in Parkway now. It's really building up there, because it's, I think, one of the most desirable places to live.
And most of the cafes and restaurants around there, you'll be able to pick up the coffee.
Excellent. And how often do you print?
Once every three weeks.
Wow, that's quite frequent, you know, for a paper. And how many pages are we looking at here? Hang on a second. 24. You've got a sports section. That's Freak. I've met Freak.
Yeah, he's the expert on sports.
Your Dutch physiotherapist.
Yeah. Yeah. He's probably more Freak, about Colombian football than most people.
Frank. Okay, yeah, perfect. But so, okay, you've got this readership, and they're faithful readership, and your circulation, you add 370 points, you just said.
Yeah.
What kind of circulation are we looking at?
6,500.
So, you know, it's sizable. It's a sizable circulation.
I'm surprised at how quickly it's grown as well. I mean, before we were printing 4,500.
We started with 3,000.
With 3,000, yeah.
Hmm.
So it's growing fairly quickly.
Fantastic. But, you know, what I look at, it's a newspaper. It's not just the listings. It's not just like, you know, when you look at, there's a Time Out Buenos Aires, which is just listings.
Yeah.
You know, I know that. Yeah, and things. And when the Buenos Aires Herald down there used to be very good, very independent type press, and then it just started copying everything off the websites and stuff. But this is independent. You've got a cadre of journalists. You know, I see Mark Kennedy's been on the show a couple of times, and you guys, and who else? You've got Adrian Alselma from the Columbia Report. So, how do you get these guys on board? Who wants to see?
But actually, we have been pleased to see how much interest there has been. There's a lot of people who are keen to help us out, and obviously, we wouldn't be able to get this paper out without them. So yeah, we have to offer them a lot of beer. We have a good group of people who are always willing, and there's always more people wanting to write things.
And I'm sure you can get interns and other people who are in Colombia wanting to submit stuff.
Exactly.
It's usually quite easy to get people on travel. Right?
On travel, travel's fairly easy.
Yeah, okay.
But for example, we also have the international news section where we've got our view from the ground, where we tend to get people from wherever it is. This edition, it's in Jordan. We've had people talking to us from Ukraine, Iraq. So that as well, that's another thing that we think is a little bit different. We get a different viewpoint.
That's pretty cool. Mm. Get someone in from the Ukraine. So now I know that the Santiago Times. Santiago Times. Because it's the Buenos Aires Herald. Santiago Times makes its money off basically just plugging itself to US journalism schools, and so they come down for a semester and they get sort of like five odd, very hard working, very bright-eyed, bushy-tailed types, you know, idealists. They come down, but I know that's how they make their money, and that's how they've stayed more than a decade in the business. Mm. So I mean, something to, you know, business model to tap into.
Yeah, taking notes.
But I think you have to probably give them a mattress.
Yeah,
maybe some hot water.
that's a good problem.
But you know, these things. But maybe something for the future to think about. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But very interesting. Very interesting. You know, before we're going to go into a short break right now, and I just want to just make sure that listeners out there have that. It's thebogotapost.com online. You took time to get that website up because people were asking about it. But now we can say thebogotapost.com. 370 places around Bogota where you can find it. So that's just about everywhere in Bogota. Interesting, guys. You were on Twitter as well, aren't you? At Bogota Post. Facebook, Bogota Post. So pick it up. Have a read of it if you're here in Bogota. Have a look at it, because what is interesting is actually news. There is news in here. I can see that right now. anyway, so we're going to take a short break. If you want to get in touch with us, that's ColombiaCalling@gmail.com. That's ColombiaCallingRadio.com, and at Twitter @ColombiaCalling. So we are all over the social media spectrum and everything. But we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Emma and Assam about the editorial line in the newspaper. Okay, does that make sense to everyone out there? Yeah, all right. So we're going to talk, and we're going to take a short break. Please don't go away. We are talking to the good folk from the Bogota Post. Thank you for listening. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm here with Emma Newbery and Assam Alkadi. Sorry, Assam Alkadi of the Bogota Post. That's thebogotapost.com. We're talking about their newspaper and why they decided to start it up, and so on and so forth. And of course, a little bit about their backgrounds. Now, the Bogota Post. I've got the latest edition here, which is issue number 14. So, yeah, congratulations on that, April. It's the first year anniversary. Trying to talk them to a party, but then I won't be there because Albert will be expecting at some point in April, so I'm not allowed to go on a very, very short leash, indeed, and that's fine, because that's the way it's meant to be. Now, listen, you've got an interesting editorial line. We were finishing the last section of the show and talking about this. I'm looking at the front page here, and you've got plan for the nation. You've got a national development plan, an article about this, but I also saw some stuff about Buenaventura as well. I mean, these are not good news pieces, let's say. Buenaventura's Laura Sharkey looks at the factors behind an ongoing human rights crisis in the infamous Pacific port city. I mean, it's true, it's terrible. I mean, what that city is one of those places that I promised myself, having been there, well, I was sent there by WWF years and years ago in 1998, when I traveled the Pacific coast in a canoe, just going through all the towns. We had to get permission from various people in charge, the muchachos, they were referred to, so we didn't know which ones. But anyway, I promised myself I wouldn't go back, and then subsequently had to go back twice for different jobs. But it's a quite an aggressive city, for example. So I was like, you're not, you know, you're holding no punches. Why? You know, we let's say this, you know, I'm not a fluff blog writer, article writer, or you know, radio show things. You know, if things need to be said, we'll say them. And I get a lot of hate mail, quite a lot of the time, even from expats living here. Mm-hmm. You know, when I criticized the Miss Universe victory, I got a hate mail from an Australian who runs like a windsurf course somewhere near Medellin. And he's like, oh, you know, you've lived here too long, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, perhaps that I'm too in tune with realities, and, you know, this beauty and this fakeness is covering over the rotten social core. That was my point. Mm-hmm. But it is, because I've been to the Miss Colombia thing, and I've seen that they are prepagos, some of them, between hotel rooms and so on. But, you know, no one says, oh, blah, 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 you can't say this, you can't say that. But, you know, you are saying it. Have you had emails come in criticizing you, saying, oh, you should only talk about the beaches or coffee?
We've had comments informally, not by email. Mm-hmm. On the website we get some things.
Yeah.
But it's hard for any media in Colombia, especially foreign media, because it's like your family. You're allowed to criticize your family, but you won't allow outsiders to criticize your family.
Of course.
And as a foreign newspaper, you've got to be really careful, because we're all here because we love Colombia.
Yeah.
But love is not simply kind of blinds, happy rainbows and unicorns. It's a kind of tough love, which says, yeah, it's a country with problems that we've chosen to live in, and we can see the problems and we still love the country. And I would hope that comes through, because, yeah, we do write negative stories, and it is kind of honest about the country. And part of the reason for starting the paper was to try to give context to some of the news. So the Buenaventura is a news feature, which started as a news article, which we scrapped in the edition before, because we wanted to try and explain what was happening there and give the context to kind of those current news stories. And it, I wouldn't say it's critical, it's exploring what's going on.
I don't think there's any bias in them. I think, you know, we understand the importance of reporting these things. The majority of expats maybe wouldn't have the understanding of it, maybe from, well, from reading Colombian media, or maybe they don't read Colombian media. So it's important to give them some kind of context to what's going on in the country that they live in.
Well, there's, you know, there's a justifiable reputation to Colombia. You know, it's unfortunate in many things, but as a, as an English person, I am still a hooligan. You know, these things don't change overnight. And if we don't address the reality in the country, you know, I, if someone asks, I get a lot of emails having, you know, worked on guidebooks and as a guide and everything. I get a lot of emails about people asking me about the country and so on. And, you know, so, oh, we're thinking of going here and here and here. And, you know, I'll tell them the truth. You know, why am I going to lie? And that's one thing that we, you know, without naming the government agency, but they always ask for editorial approval. You know, even in guidebooks, in a guidebook that I wrote, they wanted to take out references to cocaine and references to kidnapping and referencing to other things. And you're like, it has to go in, because at no point can we deny it.
It's irresponsible not to put it in.
Kind of like Poland saying that Auschwitz didn't happen in truth. I mean, I know that's sort of far different, but there is a an element of this brutal history, horrific history that needs to be still dealt with, and that's why they're in Havana as well at the moment on the dialogues. You know, these need to be addressed. These things. Well, so very interesting. But you haven't had any, let's say, hate mail yet.
No.
It will come. Yeah, it will come.
Now it's just been comments and things, but yeah, nothing explicit.
Okay. And you can understand it from Colombians, because they've, you know, most Colombians who've travelled abroad have had to defend their country at every step of the way. Everybody they meet, the first person will say something about drugs. And it's just so ingrained, that defensiveness, that of course it's going to come through.
And fair enough. And of course, then of course they're going to feel as well that we don't have a right as a foreigner, but we live here. I mean, you have a business here. You've invested time and money and intellectual neurons and into this country, so therefore, you know, you have the right to things. I think that's one of those things. I think we do have a right as observers in the country. So, but interesting thing to have to accommodate in addition to everything else. You know, so well, I'm happy to hear that you have yet to have any hate mail. But, believe me, it will come, especially.
Especially after the show.
After the show, probably. No. We've got only very nice things. Although I did get, apart from the recent show about the lady called Claire Austin, who's moving back to England, so I did a show about that, you know, why. And it's a more a visa issue and security issue and so on, because she's now had a young son and whatever. I did get some pretty offensive comments on Facebook from Colombians. London has knife fights. London has... Yes, it's true. I'm not going to go into explaining the differences, but it's true. Exactly. Whoever you were, the person who sent me some of these nice anonymous notes, you're right. We're just going to say it like that. But anyway, let's moving on. So you've got this editorial line, but also there's some interesting anecdotes around the Bogota Post, I think, you want to share with us. Tell me something about this anecdote here.
Well, actually, it was thanks to the Bogota Post that I ended up meeting a cousin of mine that I wasn't even aware that he existed. And it was when I'd first started working for the newspaper, I'd written an article, I think a travel piece, and I got a message out of the blue on Facebook from someone saying, I sent a copy to my mum in the UK, and she thinks we might be cousins. So-and-so is my granddad, so-and-so is my mum, and I recognised all the names, and I know his granddad, and so I got in touch, and yeah,
Went to a stag do.
I went to a stag do. The first time I met him was at a stag do.
Back in the UK?
No, here. In Colombia. Yeah. Okay. Just randomly living in Bogota, and he's now happily married. And thanks to the Bogota Post. I mean, it's one of those things that just happens. And
Gringo Tuesdays talks about putting couples together. The Bogota Post put family together.
Exactly.
What? It's awesome that, you know, and
it's great.
Through being mentioned in the Lonely Planet, I was put in touch with my cousin, who I had not spoken to in 20 years. So therefore, that was it. You know, it's a small world, these things. Amber, have you got any anecdotes about the Bogota Post?
No, the
love of your life through this. Is there a Lonely Heart section?
Ooh, no, we should think about that.
That was all my problems.
No, I didn't mean to say that. I was not sure. It was very cool, though. It's very cool, that sort of thing. So, very good. Now, I was looking at another edition. You've got Zuckerberg on the front here from when he came through. Did you guys get to meet him?
No, we didn't.
He was it true that he was denied entry into the Nogal Club?
I'm not wearing a tie. Pretty sure it happened. I mean, he might have got in eventually, but I mean,
well, he would just look like a backpacker.
Looks like the gringo.
The gringo in that. So then so what's the future for the Bogota Post? Let me know what the future is. You've got to have a big plan. There's got to be a master plan. You're the Rupert Murdoch. You're the Lord Beaverbrook. You are, who else can I name? Well, the ex Conrad Black.
I was trying to be a quiet behind the scenes.
It can never happen.
Not anymore, no.
This is your voice piece. I mean, you know, you get the final say, I think. You can't deny that. You've become dictatorial in your terms. Are you a President Maduro to the press?
No,
it's much better than that. Okay,
very good.
On radio,
protecting your job. Very good. Okay, fantastic. So, tell us.
We basically want to grow. We want to. The paper's at 6,500 copies now, and we distribute. They go within 2 days. So one of our biggest problems right now is that everybody's saying, "Where can I find the paper?"
Yeah.
And we can't print enough to get enough copies around the city. So the first job is to sell more advertising, grow the number of copies we print, and then we want to grow the number of pages, because we've just launched the finance section, we want to launch a health section, we want to launch a kind of Columbia page, which we haven't figured out what to call it yet.
What would that entail?
Columbia Living. So potentially have a kids' corner on it, potentially have something about, you know, maybe a graffiti featured each edition, maybe some stuff around different things you see around Columbia, maybe urban myths around Columbia, kind of page, which would be fun to do. But basically we don't have enough pages to be able to fit in everything we want
pages,
each edition.
More pages.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So right now, the next couple of months, the focus is just going to be on selling and keeping the paper kind of at the 24 pages. And then hopefully for our first birthday, maybe, you never know, we can grow bigger. We did 32 pages for Christmas, which was intense.
I can imagine. I mean, you know, this is old school journalism. This is late night stuff. Staying up.
It really is.
You've got Sudoku in here.
And we might even, we did a Christmas crossword, which was mostly doable. We made a few mistakes in the clues, apologies to anyone who tried to do it.
Okay.
We're going to launch a crossword, hopefully, if my mum's going to do it for us, in the next couple of months. And crosswords, classified Sudokus.
I'm seeing you were advertising the Columbia Lacrosse here. Is that still through... Lottie. Lottie was on the show too. She'll probably remember her name. Lottie Lawrence. Thank God. Like, I got her right. She's still here. I haven't seen her around, so very good. But I'm looking through it. It's interesting. I mean, you've got interesting stuff in here. I would never have a write-up on Colombian football. I like football very much, but I find the league just so convoluted with the apertura, clausura.
But I think, what for me struck me, because I'm the same. I mean, I love football, but I never really got into it. But it's mainly because I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
When talking to Freak, he knows everything about Colombian
football. But he also lives with Carl Wolfsbeck, the Colombian football expert.
They have the knowledge, and when you talk to them, it becomes interesting, it becomes much more exciting. So I think that's what we're trying to do, really.
Now, I'm also looking in here. You do have someone quite controversial participating. We have mentioned him earlier before, but we'll mention him again because it's always worth mentioning. Adrian Alselma of Columbia Reports, who's the founder, editor-in-chief of Columbia Reports, you know, a huge readership online and everything. You give him half a page, this is where you're going to get your hate mail, I think. You know? So how do you edit? How does anyone edit Adrian Alselma?
How do we edit his articles?
Because I'm just going to jump in. The man takes pride in the fact that he's been personally, you know, blocked from Alvaro Uribe Vélez's official Twitter feed. I mean, that's something. To be blocked.
You have to be careful. Yeah.
Well, no, I think that might be a reflection on Uribe more than on Adrian, because he's blocked some other people too.
Okay, is he blocked you?
No. Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. You're on the list.
I think.
You're on the maybe.
But yeah, Adrian's. I love his columns. He packs no punches. He knows what he's talking about. He's definitely on the edge. But he's fairly fair in his criticism. He criticizes everybody. And we do have lots of debates about both columns, because I think at the moment we're quite lucky in that we're small enough that no one's really noticed, and so we can get away with doing things that potentially would land us in trouble in a year's time. But we're kind of enjoying playing with that. I mean, we've had the columns from Adrian, we've got other slightly controversial people who've written opinion pieces, especially. And in fact, the one in that edition that worried me more was we published a letter from the website with someone from the region of Miss Tangita.
Oh, this one, okay,
And she's really laid into all of the small politicians in the region.
Yes, yeah.
And it's a great, I mean,
it's a good piece.
It's a good piece, but...
Yeah, I have trouble with these beauty pageants, even from the most legitimate ones. I just it's something that Colombia is known for. Yes, fine, Venezuela, etc. So I have issues with that. I do not like seeing equally, what are they, age 5 or something, or even younger up there. Miss Tangita, so as you've got the translation here, Little Miss Thong.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they try to defend it by saying, oh, in the United States, and they say, but don't make comparisons. You know, judge it by your own standards and so on and so forth. Okay. Yeah, well, I can see the issues there. Now, let's talk about 2015, because you guys are on the pulse.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are newspaper people. What's going to happen here in Colombia? Now we're into we're in February 2015. Let's iron out the next 10 months of the year. What are we going to see? We've got a good 10 minutes left to discuss the future of Colombia in 2015.
Right, okay.
Azam, this is Europe.
Right. Well, we've got a very close eye on the peace process. Mark, as you well know, is very involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got his finger on the pulse. We're going to keep on watching that. Hopefully, on the website we can give updates of the big developments in that, and that's really the main thing that I'm looking towards at the moment, fairly optimistically, but I'm not I don't know whether that's blind optimism, but
Well, I go through optimism and then pessimism, but I absolutely think that they will sign something.
Yeah, I think there's
absolutely
no question. So that'll be the big thing of 2015 for sure.
So we're going to put bets on what month? I'm going for September.
September.
I'm betting on September. There you go. I put my
is that using inside information?
No, I have no inside information. Right. I wish I did.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go for October then.
Right, very well. Just later. So I might put it on the Columbia Calling Facebook site. That'll be our competition for this year. So,
okay.
So Assam for October. If you really want to do it, go for a date. But I don't think we can do that.
No.
September.
Emma,
do you have any idea?
I was going to go 2016.
2016.
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure I'm going to allow you, because it's going to be happening in 2015.
December.
Fair enough. So when the Christmas ceasefire comes in again, it seems to be extending. Okay, so we've got that. What else do we think?
In sports, we have the Copa America, which obviously...
Colombia, clearly you're going to win.
They won.
I wouldn't put it past them, honestly.
Well, at home.
I think they could potentially win.
Yeah,
they've got an incredible team at the moment, and...
The main rival will be Chile.
No,
for me.
I mean, in the group, obviously, we've got Brazil, and that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
And the streets of Bogota.
No love lost there.
Definitely not. But, yeah, that's something I'm definitely looking forward to as well.
Okay, well, I'm sure you'll be having big features on that.
Of course.
Frick. Okay. Economically, how are we doing? From the former financial reporter over the desk. Pulled that one out for
Honestly, I think it's going to be a challenging year.
It is a challenging year. Now that the dollar is...
dollar, the weakened peso, I don't see the oil is going to come
it's up not
gonna
much go up
more.
To, yeah.
I think, I mean, Colombia is still a very promising country to invest in. It's still attracting lots of foreign investment, yada, yada, yada. But I think it's going to be a tough year because they've kind of flown high on inflated oil prices, and now some of the realities are going to hit a little bit more.
Yeah, and of course we've got to pay for these peace dialogues too, and a potential post-conflict.
And that's the thing that very few people are talking about, is the post-conflict and how we're going to pay for that.
How it needs to be paid.
Well, and how much, I mean, because it does save money if you have no war to fund, but the balance is...
But they won't cut back down expenses on military spending, so... What else you got there written down there?
I was just talking about security in Bogota. At the moment, it's seems to be getting worse.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're going to keep our eye on.
It's curious, isn't it? It's because it's like gun crime is down, but then regular sort of bag snatching
and there's a lot of that is
increased. There must be some correlation to something. I don't know a lot about these things, but there has to be some equation that urbanists have done. I don't know.
I haven't seen any kind of legitimate correlation, but I mean it is very noticeable. Mm-hmm. Everyone you speak to has seen an increase in crime. For example, where I live, there was a dead body found a couple of days ago.
Where do you live?
Right in front of my house in La Soledad. So it's not a dangerous area, not at all.
Jesus.
And yeah, chopped and quartered and in the canal right in front of my house.
Oh, right, so you're right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it is. There are things happening that are making me think. Actually, it's not as secure as maybe.
Well, I watched. Just here, a block west of here on Sunday night, I was just walking up after walking the dog, and just a gang obviously drove up in their car. They must drive around the whole of Bogota all night long Sunday, where it's more empty, the streets. Guy got out, came out to the car, pulled the window out of a car that was just there on the street, stole what was there, and it went. And they were watching me because they saw me
walking. Saw it, but
I was the only person, and then the car moved back, you know, did a turn to be pointing at me in case I took my phone out. You know, I could tell that they'd put there, because you know, I heard them breaking the glass and stuff. So I looked. Ordinarily, I would take a photo or something like that, but when I saw that, moved the car to have it pointed at me, you know, there's like, I know things have happened in the area. Mm. I know things happen. This is Lourdes. There are all sorts of issues there. Yeah. But to see it so brazenly and in front of like a fast food restaurant at 7:30 at night.
They seem so, like you say, so brazen. I mean, you see it happening all the time. I saw it just on the street, and there's people about. They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to care. So,
well, I mean, we've got like 4 minutes or something. What do we need? A more effective police or a police service? I mean, I don't know. I mean, why?
More effective, more trustworthy police. I mean, I don't want
to. But how do you change your culture? How do you get more people to be out on the streets on a Sunday night and be a part of... I mean, the Ciclovia does part of it on a Sunday during the day.
But in the evening, people don't want to be on the streets.
Because people don't want to be out because they don't feel it's safe. Mm. And until people feel they can be out...
Mm. That was the only time I've ever been mugged. It was in the Candelaria at like 6 p.m. on a Sunday.
That's it, yeah. Sunday nights are very empty. For example, when I walk back home on a Sunday night, it's not. There's no one around. And it's pretty... It can be quite scary sometimes.
It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. I mean, we want to talk about all the positive things, but there are many positive things and stuff. And we'll move it back to some more sort of fluffy joy unicorns and rainbows, as you said, Emma. As the travel entertainment editor, what are we looking forward to as well? Anyway, have you got any travel plans?
I have just come back from travelling. I picked up the chikungunya
on the coast.
being happy. Obviously. Yeah, no, but I mean, it was a great trip anyway. Yeah. Hopefully I'll be doing a bit more travelling in the summer. Hopefully some more family will visit. There's lots of as you know, I mean, Colombia is filled with places that people don't even know about, haven't even heard about.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be bringing some of the lesser-known destinations to people, because it's all well and good going to Cartagena and Medellin, but there's so many places. As you know, Mompox is one of my favourite places in Colombia.
It's everybody's favourite.
It is phenomenal. We don't want too many people to go, but I mean, equally, it's something that has to be seen.
It has to be protected.
Definitely has to be seen.
Okay, well, fantastic. Listen, I'll take this moment to say thank you, Emma Newbury.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you, Assam Alkadi.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome.
It's been fun. The whole idea is that we're informative and you know, interesting, and then that people will continue to tune in. So thank you to the 6,000 odd of you out there downloading this each week. I continue to be flattered by that number. It's amazing. Please, you know, look up the Bogota Post. Keep them in business. That's the BogotaPost.com. You know, write in. Even if it's a hate letter, you know, it's write in.
We'd love to hear from you.
That's at Bogota Post on Twitter, and of course they're on Facebook too. If you want to get in touch with us, that's ColombiaCalling@gmail.com and ColombiaCallingRadio.com. I've been Richard McCall. This has been Columbia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening.